Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house and brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and wives and children and land and my sake and the gospel's sake, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and everything, and also persecutions in this age and coming age." We will have persecution. In India, most people say if you accept Christ as a personal savior, you will have buildings, you will have car, your sickness will go. No. Jesus says you will have persecution. Whenever we have trials and troubles, it will make us closer to God. I have learned many lessons during the persecution, during the troubles, during the all these kind of trials. It made it drawn closer to God to learn something more. The fellowship will be so near, the fellowship will be so closer, that as the troubles increase, as the problems increase, as the trials increase, our prayers also will increase. The more we pray, the more we'll be closer to God. The more closer to God, the more dependency on Him. The more dependency on Him, the faith develops like anything. You'll be like rock in Christ. So troubles and trials are good for Christians. Always good for Christians. Whenever I get trouble, I'll praise God. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to having this problem. Because it teaches me more. It teaches me to dependency. It teaches me to lay on God. Because so near, He's so near to us, we can learn so many things on dependency on Jesus Christ. Then we can see the more important thing is from fourth verse onwards. Just as He chooses in Him before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and without blemish. God elected us 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ shed His blood 2,000 years ago and washed your sins. Do you know that you are pure and child of God 2,000 years ago? Christ never shed His blood again and again. He only shed once for all, 2,000 years ago. That means you are born again in 2,000 years ago. You are child of God 2,000 years ago. Not when you accepted Christ as personal Savior. I accepted Christ as personal Savior in 1971. In 1971, what happened then? Christ shed His blood for whole world sin 2,000 years ago. You and my and everybody's was at that time. Then what happens in 71? The whole counsel of God is fulfilled in you on 71. On that day, when you say, "Lord, I am a sinner." And His complete plan is fulfilled. Or He started making you in the form of Christ from that day. But God elected you before the foundations, He says. Foundations are first, or 2000 is first. Which is first? Foundations. Then when Christ washed your sins, 2000 years. But God says, before the foundations, He elected you, selected you, and wrote your name in the book of life. If you see Revelation 13:8, all who dwell on earth will worship Him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. This verse is negatively written, but you have to convert into positive. Whose names are not there, those will worship the devil. But whose names are written in the book of life, they will not worship. It started before the foundations of the earth. Also, you can see Revelation 17:8b, and those who dwell on the earth will marvel whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundations of the world. That means whose names are written, whose names are written in the book of life will not worship the devil. Whose names are not written, they will worship the devil. So our names are written before the foundations of the earth. Those names whose names are written, only those Christ washed. Christ shed his blood on the cross. That's what, if you want to understand, Matthew 1:21. The meaning of Jesus is there. Matthew 1:21. He came to save his people. Who are those his people? Matthew 1:21. And he shall be, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people. Who are those his people? God written in the book of life before the foundation. Those will become Christ's people. For them, Christ shed blood, and he is going to come again for only those people who has been washed. Certainly we are very blessed people, very special people. We are not ordinary people to live like an ordinary man. We belong to King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who created this heaven and earth just by word. Think of yourself. Think of yourself. You're not an ordinary child. You're a child of God. You're begotten. You're adopted. And to do his job. If you won't do his job, he's not going to leave you. Those Christ washed 2,000 years ago, now Holy Spirit comes. And Ephesians 1:13. When you say, Lord, I'm a sinner, even though you have been washed 2,000 years ago, even though God elected you and written your name in the book of life, now you're born in sin, growing in sin, doing the sin. Now Holy Spirit comes to you and make you to understand that you are a sinner, according to John 16:8. John's Gospel 16:8. That is the purpose and reason why Holy Spirit came into the world. He has come into the world, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. When he convicts you of your sin to accept Jesus Christ, you will say, Lord, I am a sinner. Immediately, Holy Spirit will do three things in your life. First thing, he will give you an experience of wash in the blood of Christ. That blood still it is working and washing. I don't know how it is. But you will immediately, when you accept him, you will have the righteousness of washing in his blood. Second thing, he will give you baptism of Holy Spirit. There's 1 Corinthians 12:13. 1 Corinthians. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. The gospel, this is 1:13. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Once you have been given the experience of washing the blood, Holy Spirit will bring you and joins you in the body of Christ as one of the part of body. That means Christ's body means that is the church. Holy Spirit will bring you and make you as one of the member of the congregation. If you bring Bible and come to a church, you are not a member of church. But Holy Spirit must give you the membership. That's the universal church. That is called baptism of Holy Spirit. Then the first thing, he gave you the experience of washed by the blood of Christ. Second thing, he will give you a membership in the universal church. Third, he will seal you according to the first chapter of Ephesians 1:13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You will be sealed for eternally. How long the seal will be on you? How long? Turn with me to Ephesians 4:30. How long the seal will be in you? Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So when the Christ comes into the midair or in the clouds, Holy Spirit take you and joins you with Christ. Till that day you have been sealed. Nothing will remove that seal. No sin is on earth can change that. Your seal. You are sealed as a son of God, a child of God, to do his glory, to be his glory, to extension of his kingdom, to tell about gospel. There is only one gospel that saves from the sin, saves from the hell. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gospel of Jesus Christ. In India, mostly believe that if they sin, salvation will go. Not only in India, many parts of the world they think. No. Christ gave his life. We are more than Christ's life. That is the reason he gave, just like that on the cross, his life. Showing you that you are greater than my life. That is the value Christ gave you and me, that we are more than Christ's life. This is the value. Then having such a value to your life, what are you doing for Christ? There are so many people around you walking straight to hell. If you won't tell, God is not going to be quiet. God will not allow you to do such work. He gave you a job to tell everybody that Christ can save you. Christ can save, like you, everybody can save you. If you don't tell that, you will not escape a day when judgment is there for believers. There is a judgment for believers. Don't think, don't play with God. Please, my dears, don't play with God. God gave you a job. As he changed your life, he is willing to change through you, your friends, your family, your neighborhood, your all friends, relatives of far and near, he is willing to. Provided, tell the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has done so much. He has done before the foundations of the earth. He wrote your name in the book of life. He sent his only begotten son to the earth and shed his blood and washed you pure and gave his righteousness. Now he sent the Holy Spirit to give you an experience of washing in the blood of Christ and sealing you and giving you baptism of Holy Spirit. Now Holy Spirit is living and dwelling in you. That's the reason Paul says in 4:30 that do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That means if you are not doing the work of God, you are grieving the Holy Spirit. You are accountable to that. Be careful. God is not going to mock. You will be mocked. When the people receive crowns from God, those who has worked properly and conveyed the sinners that Jesus is only the way, they will receive crowns. They will receive gifts from God. But you, who ignore these, will face a day. You have to bow before God that, Lord, I didn't do your work. I didn't care when it was taught to us in churches. I was ignorant of these things. You cannot be ignored. You cannot say, I don't know. It is written very clearly, given to you. You cannot say, I don't know. You cannot say, I don't know. You are the witness that he changed your life, your new life can convey others that there is something change in you when you accepted Christ. A day will come, God is going to judge every believer. Every believer. You can see in 2 Corinthians 5:10, the judgment. Or 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter 10 to 15. There's the believer's judgment. Romans 14, 9 and 10. There's the believer's judgment. 2 Corinthians 5, 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You will receive whatever you have done good. If you reap wheat, you will sow wheat. If you sow wheat, you will reap wheat. So if you tell others, they will be saved, eternally saved, and they will be with you in the church, also with you in heaven. Such a glorified gospel God gave you. If you just communicate the gospel, then not only life is changed, they will come with you into the church, they will come with you to heaven. Just communicate. Christ saved my life, he can save your life. Saving from what? Saving from eternal hell. Saving from sin. It's such an easy gospel. You need not exercise, you need not do great things, you need not run anywhere, you just wherever you are. Just communicate gospel. Such an easy job. There is no other job easier than God proclaiming the gospel. Just talking. By sitting you can communicate, by standing you can communicate, by walking you can communicate, by anywhere in the bus, train, flight, anywhere you can communicate. If you communicate, somebody's life will be changed upside down and he will beat you in the church, will beat you in heaven. This is the job God gave you. Such an easy job. And if you do that, you will receive crown. You will receive crown from God. You will receive such an easy job. So God gave me this challenge to you, to this church. Living stones. You are all living, not dead people. Communicate the gospel. That changed me. That changed you all. You experienced that change. Instead of coming here, you would have sat in front of TV and watching some movies. Because God changed you, you have come all the way to sit here to hear. What is the use of hearing? But you must communicate this. Whatever you hear, immediately you communicate outside. Then that gospel will bring many more, many more. These chairs are not sufficient if you really properly do the job. Because that shows that you are not interested in doing the job. You are not believing what Bible says. You are not believing the changes in you, within you, what God has done. If you tell what happened to you, the chairs would have filled long back. That means you are not believing yourself. First believe in you. Then believe what changes about you. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Communicate its eternal security. There is no eternal security at all in the world. But in Christ, there is eternal security. Not only here, there is a word in the Bible I like very much. Lo, I am with you always. Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you always. What does it mean? What does it mean? I understand like this. Lo, I am with you always means as long as you live on earth, God said, I am going to be with you. If you leave the earth, you are with me. As long as you are on earth, God said, I am with you. God is telling you, if you leave earth, you are with me. No separation. No separation with God. Such a loving Father we have. Such a beautiful Christ we have. Such a Holy Spirit is within us. There is no separation from God. This is eternal security. Tell about eternal security. Tell about the Christ who changed you. You can change the whole world upside down by simply preaching the gospel of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ. It's such an easy. I found this is the easiest job. This is the easiest job. Just communicate. How many people will feel it is difficult? Proclaiming the gospel is difficult in your life. How many? It's such an easy job. Try from now. Try from now. Don't waste a minute. Don't waste a minute. You will get reward. You will get your salary. You will get crown. There are 5 crowns in the Bible. Okay, I will not go. So thank you for allowing me to have this time. And I've been praying for this Living Stones. And I met last time just for a few minutes, Brian. And this time I had a good time with him. And thank you for praying. I heard you are all praying for me. Thank you very much. My prayers are with you. God bless you.
I'll tell you what an encouraging word when you think about the doctrine of the Trinity. One God eternally existing in 3 persons.
Yes.
And I love what Timothy shared with us, that God the Son came to this earth, equal with God, very God of very gods, came to this earth and became a son of man, so that the sons of men and the daughters of men can become the sons and daughters of God through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we love that truth that the Bible teaches. But as Timothy shared with us, it doesn't stop there. That's the beginning of the blessing. Not only are we saved, but we're also given the Holy Spirit of God, the third member of the Trinity, who comes to live within us, to seal us, to give us assurance. And I don't know about you, but assurance of the life to come gives us confidence in the life in which we live, to do the things that God has called us to do. And I don't know about you, but I was very challenged by what Timothy shared. I've never viewed our empty seats as a lack of obedience to go and share the gospel. But as I look around, that is very convicting. And this is a very timely message as our church is talking about refocusing on what God's calling us to do of going out and reaching those who need to know Jesus. And I just believe that God really is wanting to challenge us through the things that Timothy shared from Ephesians 3 and a number of other places in God's Word. Let's take this serious. God takes it serious. God loves us, and He wants to love others through us and get that message out, sharing the message of what God has done in us. So, again, I don't know where you are in your journey. We're all at different places. Maybe you're at that place where you're starting to really understand what the Bible's saying about God's love for us, that He sent His Son to die for us, that we could become His child through simple faith in Jesus Christ, accepting Him as our Savior. Maybe you're here and you're saying, I've done that. Well, then it is our job to go out and tell others and watch as God fills up His church, as He adds members to His church. So will you pray with me? Father, I thank You so much for inspiring the Apostle Paul to write Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3. Actually, the entire chapter talks about our spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Lord, as our brother reminded us here today, when we come to Christ, You don't promise us cars and houses and large bank accounts and health and all of these things. But You do promise to be with us here on this earth until You call us to be with You in heaven. And You've given us the assurance of our salvation, assurance of our right standing before You, which should give us confidence as we go and share with others, the great message of the gospel that we could be new creatures in Christ, that we don't have to be the same as we once were. So God, I pray for those here this morning who might not have come to that place where they've trusted Jesus as their personal Savior, that You would draw them to Yourself and grant them the faith to believe. Father, I pray for those of us who have trusted Christ, that we would take seriously commission to go into all the world and share the good news of what Jesus can do in a person's life, that the Son of Man, who is the Son of God, through His death on the cross, can make us sons and daughters of God. Lord, help us to leave here with that passion. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.